Good morning again. And let's have a word of prayer. Yeah? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all the things that's taken place. Thus far, our worship to you. Lord, the testimonies and the sharing and the breaking of bread. Father, we ask you to bless the word to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's my great pleasure to speak to you again for the second time this year after a lapse of years. Huh? Thanks once again to the elders of the church for the honor of standing in your pulpit and for the trust given to me. I do not take lightly any invitation to speak to the Lord for the Lord in any platform. Now, we in Salt Shakers had a wonderful time when Chun Piao spoke in our church on 15 May. And we're looking forward to Jeremy coming on 21st August. See, I got them all lined up. And Elvin coming on the 13th November. So I am very encouraged by the right hand of fellowship extended to me by your church leaders. I commend you. You have a depth of leadership in your church that is to be envied. Né? Now, I was reflecting on the fact that it's actually good timing for me to speak on Pentecost Sunday since I last spoke to you on Palm Sunday. It's between Passover or Resurrection and Pentecost is 50 days. So maybe what I need to do is give a very brief run-through on what is Pentecost first before we do the... I take you through the 50 days, key events recorded by Luke, that we may explore it and see what the Lord says to us about Pentecost. Huh? So what is this Feast of Pentecost or Feast of Weeks or Shavuot, right? Along with the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles, Shavuot is one of the three. Now, I'm trying to sound very knowledgeable in Hebrew, but these are all picked up from the internet. You can very easily Google on that. Just for us to know, this is one of the three Shalosh Regalim, or pilgrimage festivals, during which all Jews would report to the temple in Jerusalem to present offering to the Lord, okay? And Shavuot is directly related to Passover. Now, on the second day of the Passover, an omer of grain was to be offered in the temple, officially beginning the Sefirat HaOmer, the counting of the omer. This counting lasts for 49 days, or 7 weeks. Now you will understand why it's called Pentecost later on. 49 days or 70 or 7 weeks, and it ends in the festival that commemorates actually the birth of Israel as a nation. So this festival, this 49 days is known as the Feast of Weeks. And the term Pentecost actually comes from the Greek word, just reflecting 50, all right? 50 days. So, on Passover, the Israelites commemorated their freedom from Egypt, from Pharaoh. Then on the Shavuot, at Mount Sinai, they were given the Torah. They believed that at Mount Sinai, when the Jews accepted the Torah, they became the servants of God, and the nation of Israel was born. Now, in the fulfillment of Old Testament, the three major festivals, in the fulfillment of it in the New Testament, we all know that the beginning, Jesus fulfilled the Passover by being the perfect Lamb of God. He was slain for our deliverance from sin and Satan. And similarly, just like Moses went up to the mountain to receive the Torah, when Jesus went up to heaven and was seated on the right-hand side of God the Father, he poured out the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost. And when the disciples received the gift, they became witnesses for Christ, and the church was born. All right? So with this simple explanation of the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, I want to take you through this 50 days from Resurrection Sunday to the day of Pentecost when the church was birthed in power. And we shall follow the record and the telling of the events by Luke And we're going to look through and you're going to discover observations of significant things that happened in that 50 days that took place as recorded in the Gospel of Luke and Acts of the Apostles. And it will help us understand the importance of Pentecost in the life of the church and the preparation of each one of us for the life of power in Christ. So the scriptures are, what I'm going to take you through is from the scriptures that's up here, all right? Now, a little bit of background to the beginning story, yeah? On the first day of the week when Jesus has resurrected, the women were there at the tomb, and they were, we know, I'm not going to go through that story, but they came back later. And they went to the 11 disciples and told them that they about Jesus being risen. In Peter and John, they you can see this picture here. When they heard that, they ran. They ran to the tomb. And John, maybe younger than Peter, John reached the tomb first, and he stood at the tomb and outside. But Peter went in and he looked at everything inside. And so that is the morning. And then on that same day, there were two of them that were going on the way to Emmaus, a journey to Emmaus. And as they were going along to Emmaus, Jesus, they did not recognize who he was. Jesus came alongside them. And he was listening to them talk with sadness. They were talking about the events in Jerusalem, the crucifixion of Jesus. And as they were going to Emmaus, they had really heard the women said that Jesus was risen, but they did not really understand that. They did not really believe that, and they were in doubt, they were in confusion. Jesus came alongside them. And as Jesus came alongside them, he asked them a few questions, and then he explained to them from the scripture why it was necessary for the Christ to suffer. And so our story begins from here, all right? Then they drew near to the village where they were going. And Jesus indicated that he would have gone further. But they said to him, constrained him and said, "Abide with us. It is towards evening, and the day is far spent." And so he went in and stayed with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him. And Jesus vanished away. And then they spoke to one another. Did not our hearts burn within us while he was talking with us on the way? And while he opened the scriptures to us, and so they rose up that very hour, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and the others who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." And they told them about the things that happened to them on the road, and how they knew him through the breaking of bread. Let me just take a little bit of this one and just draw your attention to it before we move on to the next part. No? I wonder how many of you have experienced walking with Jesus and the burning of hearts as he speaks and talks to us. Christianity is not just coming to church, a religion. I wonder when was the last time we have this experience of walking with Jesus and he was speaking to us and their hearts were burning, but they didn't understand it. And they would never have understood it if they had not requested Jesus, "Stay on, stay with us." Have we learned to host the presence of God? Have you, when you were reading the scripture, felt God say something to you? And your heart was stirred? But were you in a hurry to go off from that meeting time with the Lord and go to do whatever you were? Have you learned to host the presence? Because if they had not done that, they wouldn't have experienced this. You see, as they hosted the presence of God and said, abide with us, then in the breaking of bread, they recognize him. In the fellowship, the breaking of bread may not necessarily refer to the communion, though it's often said as the breaking of bread, but it refers to relationship fellowship. It is in spending time with God that our eyes are opened and we know him. Brothers and sisters, I think it's important for us as we prepare ourselves to go into Pentecost to realize the first thing that happened to us, that really happened to us, is the need for us to draw near to God, to learn to host his presence and allow him to open up our eyes that we may know that this is the Son of God. Not just a religious figure, this is the Son of God. So the disciples rushed back up. They traveled that day to Emmaus towards evening, and when they realized it was Jesus, now put yourself in the shoes of the disciple. They had been hiding. They've been hiding in the upper room because of fear for the Jews. Because Jesus has just died, and they knew that they were looking, the people, the Jews were looking for them as well. They were hiding. They were afraid. And imagine it when the news come from the women that Jesus is alive. And Peter and John, as recorded not in Luke, but in John, I think in John or one of the other gospels, they ran. You can see with the sense of excitement, we saw the face just now, they were looking anxiously. Is it true? Is it true? And they were gathered together in the upper room. And then these two men that were going to Emmaus came back immediately and found them saying the same thing. Jesus is the Lord is risen indeed. And he has appeared to Simon. And they told them what has happened to them. And as they were saying these things, the Lord himself appeared in their midst and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened, supposing that they have seen a spirit. And Jesus said, behold my hands and my feet, and see this, I myself. Handle me, see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still did not believe for joy and marveled, Jesus said, have you any food here? And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycombs. He took it and he ate. Now, why did Jesus do all these things? Later, we will see in Acts that Jesus said that he showed, he presented himself alive to the disciples, apostles, by many infallible proofs. He was letting them know that I am the risen Christ. And I'm not just a spirit, a ghost somewhere, you know, like no flesh, no blood, just ghosts. And that tells us that we're going to have that transformed, resurrected body in the future. Brothers and sisters, don't get anxious and worried that we're getting older, our body is, you know, failing us, and one day we will meet the Lord. I am overjoyed with the fact that Jesus showed himself alive to the disciples in a new form, resurrected body. They were in the locker room, he was there. He ate, then he disappeared. You know, this is a body that is no longer restricted by our frail and weakness. That was the first day. And it recorded it. Now, I'm not telling now from the scripture. Now, I'm just telling you what I remember. In the Gospel of John chapter 20, Luke didn't record all the things inside here, but John recorded that it was that very same day, the first day at night, that they were locked in the room for fear of the Jews. And Jesus appeared in the midst, as Luke said here. And Jesus did something significant not recorded here. And John said, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And for those of us who are Pentecostals, we say that's when the disciples became Christian. There was no Christians prior to the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God. They received the Spirit of God. And Jesus said to them, I sent, just as the Father sent me, I send you. He was already commissioning them to go out. Just as the Father sent me, I send you. And he says that whoever sins you forgive, it will be forgiven them. Whoever sins you retain, it will be retained. What a wonderful day that day was, that night was. Now, there were a couple of other events that Luke recorded. And if you don't read Luke chapter 24 carefully, you think that they all happened after Jesus came to them in the room. Then Jesus said all these things. No, there were two events picked up from the many things that Jesus taught them. Two very important things that he reiterated when he wrote Acts. Because after the event in the closed room, they met other times, and I believe this was towards the end of the 40 days when he had told them many other things. And the end of the 40 days, before his ascension, there were very important things he had to say to them. Okay, this is a story from the Bible. Then Jesus said to them, now these are the words I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And note, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. The next event Luke record was, then he said to them, thus as it is written, thus was it necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached to all nations in his name, starting at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these. You are witnesses of this. Then he said, I send to you the promise of the Father, but tarry in Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, until you are endued with power from on high. And here was his promise about the Holy Spirit. 40 days he taught them about the kingdom. And now, towards the end, he gave them these commandments. And then he led them out as far as Bethany. They were in Jerusalem, in the upper room. Then he led them as far as Bethany, and he lifted his hands and he blessed them. And it happened, and it came to pass that as he blessed them, he was taken up and carried away into heaven. And they worship him with great joy. And they continue daily in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. That's from Luke. Now, Luke is the one who wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel and the Act of the Apostles. See him continue. And we're going to come to the day of Pentecost. The former account I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day he was taken up, all right, covering from the beginning to his resurrection, until the day he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commands to his apostles whom he had chosen, and to whom he had presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So that period from the resurrection to now the ascension, Jesus spoke about the things of the Old Testament that speaks to him. He did certain things with the disciple, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. Now, he repeated some of the things he said in Luke. Yeah? And this is what he said. And being assembled with them, he commanded them not to depart, but to depart from Jerusalem, but to remain until they received the promise of the Father, which He said, you've heard of me. For truly John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And they came together. Therefore, as they came together, they asked Jesus this question. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. But before we go on to the ascension, let me just bring up a few things here. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. You've seen me alive for 40 days. You have heard the opening up of the Old Testament. You understand now everything concerning me and what I've come to do, why it was necessary for me to die on the cross, for me to suffer, why it was necessary for me to do all these things, because repentance and remission of sins must now be preached to all nations, starting from Jerusalem. And you are the witnesses of it. And we're saying, but you can't go out until the individual people that you are, full of excitement, is birthed as a body in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the coming of the Holy Spirit is not to make us feel good, and not like some Pentecostal thing, just to give a say, just to make us speak in tongues. We make a big deal about tongues. Yeah? But the coming of the Holy Spirit is to make you and I witnesses of all that Jesus ever did, all that he said, of his death and his resurrection, and to be a witness not only here in Jerusalem, but to Judea and Samaria, to the ends of this earth. Now that begs the question, why did the disciples come and ask, when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Remember at the Palm Sunday, I told you the story about how Jesus cursed the fig tree because he looked for fruit and there was no fruit. Then he told the story of the two sons in the vineyard. And the dramatic thing he made was that the kingdom was going to be taken from you and given to another who will bear fruits. And this is what was happening. Just like Ezekiel said, I will make a new covenant with you, and I will take out the heart of stone, and I will put it with you in the heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you, and you will know me from the least to the greatest. Now, Jesus was talking about the birthing of the church. All right. And the kingdom was to be given over to the church. The kingdom of God in its first form was now handed to the church of Jesus Christ. And you and I carry the baton, and we must run with it. Your church has many missionaries here, and they are missionaries because of this verse. God has empowered them to go to the nations, to go forth and bring repentance and remission of sins to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. But is there going to be a kingdom restored to Israel? When the Lord said, this kingdom will be taken away from you and given to another nation. We're not going to dwell on that, but from other scriptures, I believe there will be a kingdom restoration for Israel. But the Father said, about Jesus, said, this is not a time and season for us to worry about when Christ is coming back, when the millennium kingdom will come, and the headquarters of God's kingdom will be in Jerusalem. That's not the time for us to work. But the time for us to understand that the Holy Spirit is going to be given to us that we may be witnesses till the end of the earth. And when he had, now this is just continuing the story from the scripture, and when he had said all these things while they watched, he was taken up and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they stood steadfastly looking upwards into heaven as he went, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said to them, men of Galilee, why are you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come as you see him go into heaven. Let me just draw a few thoughts from here. Just now we hear Pastor Alvin talked about the communion, about the coming back of Jesus. The same way that Jesus went up in the clouds, he's to come back again. Look at Matthew chapter 24. After all the prediction of Jesus, what will come, he says, then he will come with in the clouds with great power and glory. Jesus is coming back. From the birth of the church to the coming back of Jesus is the age and the period of the Holy Spirit through the church, driving the gospel through the ends of this earth. He wasn't given for us just to feel good about ourselves. I can speak in tongues. I'm feeling sad. He will give me joy. Yeah, these are all the things that come as a benefit. But the main purpose it was given was that the church will become the powerhouse of God, going into all the nations, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they departed from there back to Jerusalem, which is a short distance, about a Sabbath day's journey. And when they entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Judas, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. And these all were with one accord in prayer and supplication, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. That was the 40th day. May 26th was Ascension Sunday, if you're aware of it. No? Traditional churches celebrate Ascension Sunday, May 26th. That's about 10 days from today, Pentecost. That was the day Jesus ascended. That was the day they went back and they were waiting. And they knew that it wasn't a waiting. They had no idea. It was just about 10 days. So we see from both Luke and what he wrote in the Gospel of Luke in Acts that they were going to the temple daily. They were still going to the temple, praising, blessing God in the midst of all the people. And they were in the upper room, whatever time it was, they were waiting in supplication, waiting for the Holy Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were with one accord in one place, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came and they were confused, because every one of them heard them speaking in their own language. So they were amazed and marveled and said, "Are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that each one of us hear them speak in the language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and those in Egypt and Libya, adjoining Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, and Cretans and Arabs. Each one of us heard in our own tongue the wonderful works of God." So therefore they were amazed and perplexed, Understand, whatever could this mean? Very good question. Whatever could this mean? What is Pentecost? What is its meaning? Whatever could this mean? And others mockingly said, these are filled with new wine. But Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and said, men of Judea and those who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Heed my words. These men are not drunk as they suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Upon my men servants, upon my maid servant, I will pour out my spirit on that day, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's this. You believe that Jesus comes into your life. All of us, everyone who is a Christian has the Spirit of Christ. But there is a second experience where you have to wait for the power that comes from God. I believe that. But that's not what I want to push over here. Every one of us read the scripture, interpret the way that we should. But whatever it is, I want you to focus on what Peter said was the meaning of it. And I believe that if all of us understand what it is, the church will be different. Whether you speak in tongues or you don't. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that term, all filled with the Holy Spirit, is a very significant word. It wasn't just kind of like, I know the Spirit. It was like, we were swimming in it, they were swimming in it. The wind just blew all around them, the tongue of fire upon them. They were people who were so, so connected and baptized, gives a picture of being immersed, just like John baptized in water, immerse you in water. Father wants to, Jesus wants to immerse you in all that is the Holy Spirit. Not partially, fully. That he may give you the power that we need to do what it is. And what did Peter and what did Peter say? This day of Pentecost is what was prophesied by Joel. That's a significant shift from the old covenant to the new covenant, from Israel to the church. In the old covenant, certain people only hear from God and know God. And speak God's mind. They were the prophets. They were the priests. They were the priests, so to speak. But mostly the prophets. God raised them up to speak to the people, and so that they know the mind of God, what God is saying. But now in the shift, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, every one of us have had our old heart stone removed, a new operation, a new heart put in us. And now, as Ezekiel said, he can now put his spirit within each one. The definitive difference is that in the New Testament, every one of us can do what's spoken of by Prophet Joel. And what did he say? You shall all prophesy. I know some of us would like to say, prophesy is, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow he will do this, do that. But you know, when the 120 were up there and they were speaking in tongues and they were talking about the wonderful works of God, I believe that all that Peter or Joel was saying, that in that new day, because every one of us will have the Spirit in us, we will know the mind of God.
To prophesy is to prophesy out of the mind of God, not just looking at something and saying, oh, that says God. Now God says this. You're speaking at that moment what God wants the people to hear. It could be prophetic. It could be predictive. It could be just encouraging. It could just be the wonderful things of God. But you know the mind of God for the season, for the time, for the people you are speaking to. That's all he's saying. All the sons and daughters shall prophesy. It didn't mean everyone go around everywhere and say, thus saith the Lord, you shall be this. No, that's not it. But behind the fact that all of them shall prophesy is this key root. The day of Pentecost brings us into a relationship with God. When you and I can know the mind of Christ, we know what God's saying at any time. We know what to do in our daily lives because he is with us. And he revealed. This is a different kind of life that was ever existing before. This is now God with us, day by day, every day. And he says, I will do that. And everyone will prophesy. Instead of just one or two prophets, everyone will. Of course, we do recognize that there's an office of the prophet in the fivefold ministry, those that God used in a very powerful way and prophetic. But all of us can know the mind of Christ. And I trust that even if you don't speak in tongues, I trust that you know, are able to know what God's saying to you. Because that's your privilege. That's my privilege as the people of God on whom this is the age of Pentecost. The other thought I want you to think about is that Joel said, this is the last days. In the last days. The last days started 2,000 years ago. All right? That's the last days when God poured out his spirit. And so we could say we are in the last of the last days, that period of time when it is the pouring out of the Spirit. And it says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. At the giving of the law, Israel became a nation. That 49 weeks was a week of celebration for the harvest. It was a harvest celebration. A little bit like Sarawak today going through the Gawai where they celebrate a fruitful harvest and they remember the Lord in that. So they will celebrate a fruitful harvest and also their birthing as a nation. But on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved. That's the beginning of a harvest of souls. And just like Jesus said, he says that you are all witnesses. And this repentance and remission of sin must be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You know, the very first message in Jerusalem, the nations heard it. The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, these were Jews converted. And I believe that after that, when they stayed on for a little while, they all went back later. And that's when the gospel really went through them as well. So that when people like Paul went in, there were the synagogues, there were people who were already aware of the things that were happening. There was the moving of the Holy Spirit across the world, as it were. And then he says one day, and he says that in that day, it shall come to pass, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's Peter standing there. I think somebody must have turned for me because I forgot to do that. And I just want to end very quickly with some key observations that's here. I think you need to know Jesus from the revelation, from the resurrection to the ascension, Jesus. How was Jesus known? The resurrected Christ in his new form, how was he known? In the breaking of bread, in relationship. I talked a bit about it. I said that we need to host his presence. We need to spend time in his presence. It's in the breaking of bread and fellowship that we know him. And it's a very interesting thing that in most cultures, it is in around the food, around the table, that we get to know one another better. And I hope your church has a lot of this kind of makan time, where you know each other as family rather than just people coming to the church. But I think what happened was that in that relationship, I want to bring your attention to the open eyes, spiritual sight. Are your eyes open this morning? when you look at the scripture, do you see Jesus? Do you see Jesus? And I'm afraid in many places, Christianity has become like another religion. There's no more the joy of the Lord. We don't see Jesus in our life. But as they were walking with Jesus, their eyes were opened. Do you have that burning heart in worship perhaps? When you raise your hands to worship on Sunday, that burning heart inside you, you know the presence of God. You know, one of the things in the Pentecostal church, we say this. When the worship is right there at what God is saying, where God is moving. If we are moving with the Spirit, we need to host the presence of God and not rush. And not rush. But most of us, we move from this one to this one to this one. Even if the Spirit of God is moving, we just move on because time. We have to fulfill time. And I want to suggest to you that there may be seasons where you just allow the Holy Spirit just to move through the congregation where you see, when you see Him moving, burning hearts. The other thing, there was Jesus opened their understanding so that they had an open mind to the Old Testament. So that when you look at the Old Testament, you can understand what it speaks about concerning Jesus Himself. And finally, the last point, on the day of Pentecost, they were baptized by the Spirit. We receive power to be witness. And this is, in the first four, is how we get to know Christ. And then the final thing is how we make Christ known. Unless you know Christ, you have your eyes open, you have your burning heart experience, and your mind open to the scripture, and you receive the baptism, the power of God, you cannot make people know God. You have to know Him first. And may God bless us through the telling of this story. Let me close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord. The day of Pentecost is not just another festival. It birthed the church in power. And we are to remain in the power of the Holy Spirit so that anyone who hears the gospel can call upon the name of the Lord and will be saved. Lord, bless this church with the vision of a sea and a hill, that it will forever carry forth the gospel light of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you all.
Thank you, Pastor Albert. My brothers and sisters, I do not want Pentecost to pass by as another ordinary event, but I want us to be impacted, not just one time when we become believers, but in our everyday life, we want to experience God in a real way. When we open the Word of God, we want to be able to hear that God is speaking to us. When we go to work, we want to be able to experience that God is with us. And God never leaves us. No matter what we go through, where we are, God is with us. He lives in us. And we have to understand that. Being a Christian does not mean just to go to church. Being a Christian means to receive the Holy Spirit and to live with God every day. To abide in Jesus Christ. And when we live this way, with our awareness of God, we live a life of power. Really, we can experience the nearness of God this way. But the question to you is, my brothers and sisters, are you living with God this way? Or are you still waiting for the Holy Spirit to come and fill you where God is already in you? Where God is already living with you? I pray this morning for you that you will incline your ears to God to hear Him, that He will open your eyes to see Him. In John chapter 5, Jesus said that my Father is always at work. Do you know that God is always working? And Jesus said He is also working. But the question is not whether God is working or not. The question is whether we are seeing God working or not. And later on in that chapter, in John chapter 5, Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father is doing. And I do nothing on my own. Jesus said that, my brothers and sisters. The question to you again is, do you see the Father working? If we do not see the Father working, then how can we join God in doing what He does? My prayer for you, my brothers and sisters, is that God will give you the spirit of revelation. The spirit of revelation is not another Holy Spirit. The spirit of revelation is the ability to see behind things and object, to see spiritually what God is doing, how God is working in this world. And you can live like that. Amen. And I want you to live a life of power. And I want you to go out with confidence that God is with you. And I want you to have that spirit of understanding and revelation to be able to see into the situation in your life. When you have troubles, you have problems, you have difficulties, that God will give you that revelation to see and to solve not just your problems, but the problems of people that you come in contact with. May the Lord grant you that eyes to see and the wisdom to help others. And as a result of that, that is truly the power of God living in us and through us. And we become witnesses for Christ. And people will ask, why are you different? Do you know, church, that we are differentiated because of Jesus? You have so much power. You have God living in you. It is just that we have to learn to be more aware of God in our lives. Yes, we are not perfect. We struggle, we stumble, we fumble. It is a process of growing, maturing, and learning. But let us start this journey. Let us draw near to Christ. Let us learn to communicate with the Holy Spirit. Let us learn to decrease and let God increase. And let Christ live through us. Let us wake up every day confessing that Pastor Elvin has died. I have died with Christ. And the life that I live I live in him and through him. And I want to be a blessing to people every day. I want to be a blessing to my neighbor. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a witness of Jesus Christ. As you begin to think this way and confess this way, church, nothing can stop us. Nothing can stop you. Amen. Let us continue to depend on the Holy Spirit. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to increase in us and we decrease. There are areas in our lives that we have closed our door towards God. Maybe we put a double lock. We say, God, you cannot come in to this part of my life. But today, let us ask God to break that lock. Let that door be open to the Holy Spirit to come in. Church, do you want God to break into your life? If God does not break in, you cannot break through and you cannot break forth. This is not my words, this is Pastor Edmund Chan's word, but I borrowed from him. I say that again. Do not lock the areas in your life and keep the Lord out of it. Let God break that lock. Let the door be open for the Holy Spirit to come in. Let God break in so that you can break through and you can break forth for the Lord. It is never the Lord's problem. It is always us. The Lord is always ready. The Lord is always willing. The question is, are you locking Jesus out? Are you locking the Holy Spirit out from your life? That area that you hold so closely to, that it may become your idol. Spirit, touch your church. Lord, we need your grace and mercy. Let us rise. We need to pray like never before. We need the power. Passion once again, I want to keep. church, stretch out your hand and receive this benediction. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now unto Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week ahead. Thank you for coming, and hope to see you again next Sunday. Invite your friends to come, and remember Tuesday night, okay?